Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Marry My Husband, episodes 11 and 12. It's trash day, and Suman is collecting the garbage. Let's find out what they're up to.
Leanne, how are you doing? It's been a week.
Yes, I was away. I was at a trade show conference in the desert.
Sounds dry.
It was just 4 days of men in collared shirts tucked into their jeans selling me marketing tech solutions.
Oh, God.
Could it be drier?
Could it be drier with their dress shoes on?
Now it's very, you know, these tech guys are just
kind of like high-end sneakers.
If the conference was in San Francisco, they would have had their puffer vests on. But in the desert, they shed their vests. They show their true selves. My husband was very sick when I left. Very bad flu. And I was just like, oh, bye.
So this is how you avoid getting sick. You're always leaving at the most opportune time.
Avoidance is my middle name. This is what everyone knows about me now.
I know he was really sick because I texted him maybe the morning after you left. And I said, do you need me to take the girls to school? And he's like, yes. And normally he doesn't ask for help. So I was like, oh, he's not feeling well.
We don't usually ask you for help for school drop-off because you're always late.
We made it right before the bell rang and everybody was very relieved.
Yeah, no, he was very sick. I haven't seen him this sick in a long time. And then my daughter got very sick also. Got the same thing, very high fever. I'd say, I'm just saying all of this because yes, I'm an avoider and I got to skirt all of this and the sickness so far. But I do have to say, you know, it was like total trust. I walked out of the house, caught a flight, barely asked really how anyone was doing, didn't like really leave any meals.
Nobody heard from you for 4 days.
Like I just knew he had it. We have a friend who texted me, you know, we're big Bluey fans. She texted, she's a doctor, and she said that one of her patients told her that she realized she had to get divorced because of Bluey. She realized she needed a bandit, the dad in Bluey, as a husband, more than a man who she had at home, which is a guy who didn't do anything.
Well, Bandit is really kind of the perfect dad.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the gold star. But I find that really interesting. In this day and age, I still know a number of dads who don't do that much. And it actually infuriates me because we're not like the 1980s. Mm-hmm. We're not in the 1990s. Like, this is such a new generation. And some people have commented that my husband does a lot. And I'm like,
he does.
The bar is not that low. You know, like he does a lot compared maybe relative to other people. But for me, I feel like the bar has to be there.
Right. Like he's the minimum bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we, our husbands are similar in the way that they contribute to the household.
Yeah.
And so when they both equally see other dads that fall short, they're always very like, aren't you glad you have me?
Oh my gosh, I get the comment all the time. But also,
would you trade less help if you could hear less of that?
No,
aren't you
lucky? No, absolutely not. I will take the comments. But we were out in public at a restaurant and my daughter is like, you know, she's not even three yet. So she's just a squirmy eater. We're sitting at a restaurant, which is like basically asking to be tortured. And an older lady comes up to us. First of all, she goes, "Xinyan kuaile." And I was like, we're Korean.
Nothing infuriates Juliet more than being mistaken for anything but Korean.
Well, particularly Chinese.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I have another story about that, but I'll say that in a second. And then, I mean, you know, she's an older woman. She had good intentions. She's like, oh, I was saying Happy New Year. So I said it back to her. And then she goes, and she's, by the way, a white woman.
Of course.
And then she looks at my husband. She goes, by the way, I noticed Dad was so sweet and gentle with his little girl, fixing her hair, feeding her. And I was like, excuse me, what about me? I'm right here next to my son taking care of everybody. Anybody want to comment on that?
Oh, boy. This is not just for help at the table. Anytime somebody says your husband is handsome, you're always like, excuse me, what about me? That is your de facto.
Because how dare anybody pay attention to anyone but me is what I'm thinking. Okay, but what I was going to say is my son the other day was like, so mom, aren't we Chinese? And I about had a aneurysm.
Did you just hear me in your voice being like, yes, we're all Chinese?
All I could think about was you. And it's like, I bet you she's infiltrated his mind.
Exactly. Good thing I wasn't here. I would have gotten kicked out of your house because I would have said that. And you would have, yeah, booted me out of here. Yeah, so we are very lucky to have helpful husbands.
Yeah, you are very lucky indeed.
As are you. And they are too.
That's, yeah. What about us? Hello.
Who's not lucky is Suman. What has she gotten herself into? Let's get into it. We have episodes 11 and 12. We ended episode 10 with full-on G1 hunky GM makeout session.
Yep.
In his foyer. A good foyer makeout. You know, like right when you get in the door, yeah, you like just kind of rip each other's clothes off. It's just got to happen right in the doorway.
But they started episode 11 with that kiss.
Yeah.
And no music.
It's so quiet.
And I was like, this is the most awkward. Like, I felt like a voyeur just watching them. Like, this is so uncomfortable.
I don't want to hear smacking right. lips.
No, I don't. I don't want to hear the saliva getting all over the place.
Yeah, it was definitely. He pushes her up against the wall. I was on the edge of my seat because he took her by the arm. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to be, is he taking her to the bedroom? Is this going to be brown chicken, brown cow? Brown chicken, brown cow. No.
He stopped himself.
He stopped himself. But he like threw her out. He like took her arm. And instead of saying, let's wait, he just took her arm, put her outside and then closed the door.
Yeah, it's like he threw his trash out. I also find it weird because he keeps thinking back to his own death, but I'm like, why can't you just have fun?
Yeah, bro, just have some fun.
Yeah,
because he's thinking about her, he wants the best for her. Yeah, now you see the door slowly close on her astonished face. It was a great moment. The next day he calls in sick, so she goes to bring him porridge.
Abalone porridge. Have you had that before?
I see it at the market in like prepackaged. I'm always very curious.
Oh, prepackaged. I don't think I've ever seen that. It's like a delicacy.
Oh,
so anytime you're sick, that's like what you're supposed to get. Like one time my father-in-law, he broke his arm and he specially requested that we send him abalone porridge. The one thing he wanted to eat.
I see.
And it probably like gives men vitality.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what this guy needs.
Yeah.
Because she hears like the cat go and something crashing to the floor. And so she takes his door code, walks into his apartment, and he's fallen on the floor. And I was like, oh no, is this cancer? Like, is this a signal of a larger sickness?
Right.
But it doesn't seem like it.
No. Yeah, what was wrong with him?
I think he was so burdened by how sad he was that he had to turn her away.
Oh dear
God. That it drove him to sickness.
Dear God.
But I'm like, what medicine makes you pass out like that? He says the next morning, he like kind of can't remember the last night.
NyQuil.
I feel like it's like Tamiflu. Have you read the stories about people who've taken Tamiflu and they've had like psychosis breaks?
Oh, I have. But the company that my husband used to work for made it. And so we don't talk bad about it because we have a vested interest in it.
The stock is going to drop. Sorry.
What was funny is he started to speak to her in Pammat in an informal speak because he was so, it was almost like he was drunk and he was like talking to her like she was very close to him. And he was saying something about the boat,
yes,
right? And like how he wanted to give her stability and put her on land, which was what she had told him that she wanted when they got drunk in college.
So was this the moment where she realized he was the man?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's very touching for her.
That was. Yes. That was.
And he was like, you don't even remember me?
Yeah.
What point do you think Korean couples, like real life Korean couples, break down the formal speak?
I think it's pretty early. Because if you remember, we were watching even Love After Divorce and Singles Inferno. They ask like first or second conversation they have.
Can we speak informally? Well, on this show,
it took them...
It took them 10 episodes. They go on a beach date. She's still calling him Pujanim?
Yes, and he's offended by that.
And what is that? Like, that's like the equivalent of saying manager?
One level. Maybe it's like senior manager. Or like one level down from director, whatever, associate director kind of. And then he goes, when are you going to stop calling me that? And then she goes, when you become director.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they kiss and hug on the beach. They go informal. It feels like this is like the DTR moment. Mm-hmm. When you can go informal, you're DTRing. Yes. Like, we're here. We're a couple.
And I feel like something in the formality makes it feel more romantic.
Oh, I see. It's more like old school love.
Yeah, right. It feels pure. Yeah, they were, that date was in Busan. And so she was showing him how to eat this dish that's mm-hmm. a specialty in Busan called taeji gukbap, mm-hmm. which translates to pig soup, rice, which just sounds kind of gross, but it's a specialty and it's very, very good.
But there's like a very specific way that she wanted him to eat it.
Yeah. And she was like, you're obviously a well-bred kind of rich kid because you don't know how to eat stuff like this. This is like food of the people.
They looked so fabulous on that beach and just falling in love. My husband and I were recently, over the long weekend, on a desolate beach on an island. We did not fall in love like that.
No. Mm-mm.
It maybe it's because those guys, you know, they're wearing their cashmere. She's got her beret on. Yeah. We were wearing like Patagonia jackets and beanies.
Every maybe. Time you would rub against each other, it would just like friction.
Yeah. Our cold beach walk off the coast of Washington was not the same as their Busan walk. They do a lot of couch cuddling.
This is so cute. And that there was like that one scene where they were just like watching some random variety show. It really made me think, you know, like those are the moments in a relationship that actually
matter.
Yeah. And that if I maybe because I'm a very like sentimental person, I always think like if I were to die or like something were to happen, what are the moments that I would want to go back to or that recreate? And it would always be those small moments, like just mm-hmm. watching TV together or like laying in bed looking at your phone together, you know?
They like sneak touches in the office. Yeah. It's all very just early love. And it's just the best.
It's very cute, but will not last.
I know, it's really short lived. But before things take a turn, he, you know, bring this necklace that he bought from Duty Free. He brings it out. He presents her with the duty-free necklace. He says she only deserves the best. Little does she know he bought it off the duty-free catalog along with like a sharper image body
massager. Yeah.
Or like a dog bed. Oh no, he'd have like a cat bed cat or like bed. Cat steps to his bed. So that's what we see from them falling in love early on in the episode. We also see Soomin and Debbie's husband. You know, I sit around just waiting for these two to come on screen. Soomin is slowly realizing who she's marrying and the family she has signed up for. First of all, we see Debbie's husband like smoking a few times in the show, and he's always smoking like Virginia Slims. Very,
really?
Yes, like a very skinny, long cigarette. I love that. Very small detail, mm-hmm. but very indicative of him as a person.
Right.
Or as a man, yes. right? Like, yeah. Not very manly to smoke a Virginia Slims. She's still faking the baby, and her mother-in-law is treating her very nicely. This is Soomin. But mother-in-law is, you know, rearing her ugly head. She is a controlling.
Yeah, she takes over all of the details of the wedding. She picks out her wedding dress for her, gives her the most hideous, really old school invitation with those really garish colors, because now everything is like muted and pastel. But of course, she wanted the red and the green and the yellow and the blue. And Soomin can't say anything, but also Minwon doesn't, the deadbeat husband doesn't say anything at all to his mom.
And we hear kind of Jiwon being like, this is exactly how her wedding was.
Yeah.
Almost like the same dress. We see some like flashbacks yes. of her sitting in the same place in the same dress.
Same wedding hall.
Yes. Soomin sends an invite by text to Jiwon. Jiwon's at the office. She forwards it to Hunky GM. And then all of a sudden, the entire office gets the invite in their email. At first, I thought Soomin sent it. Like, I thought she wanted the whole yeah, office to see that she was getting married. That's what I thought, too. But it turns out
it was Hunky GM.
It was Hunky GM. I loved that.
Yeah, that was very cute.
He's starting to get a little revenge under his belt, and I think it's feeling good. Deadbeat husband goes to right-hand man and is like, how could you do this? Like, I didn't want this sent out. And then the right-hand man is like, oh, no, but, like, when you get married, everybody gets to go to the wedding. It's definitely interesting, wedding culture in Korea, because it's such a mix of old school but still very, like, Western in, like, the white dress,
right.
the hallway, walking down the aisle.
Have you been to a wedding in Korea?
I've been to mine. Other than your own. I've been to weddings, Korean, like church weddings here. Some are wearing jeans. They're just there to eat.
Yeah. And I actually, the culture in Korea used to be that way. Mm-hmm. People would go very casually and the big event was to eat. Pay your respects by paying for your meal, essentially, right. And then as your wedding gift. And then you eat and you go, which is why there is a real like tension between Korean Americans and their immigrant parents. Mm. Previously, I don't even know if that's true anymore. This was probably like 20 years ago, where Korean Americans wanted the party. They wanted their friends to come and have like and dance and invite all of their friends. But then a lot of times the parents would meddle and say, no, we need to invite more of our friends because they need to pay their respects. And it's a little bit about like showing face and they're just going to eat and leave. And right. So a lot of weddings I've been to where the adults will just eat and like jet immediately.
And then it makes your wedding very big. And so you can't really afford the smaller, more intimate wedding hall. You've got to go big and maybe, you know, skimp on other costs because it costs too much.
I mean, we had that argument too with our parents, but stupidly, my husband and I said we were going to pay for our own wedding. In retrospect, was like the dumbest decision we've ever made in our life. And so then we were like, well, we get to decide who's coming because we wanted control over that. But now I'm like, who cares?
Right.
I should have invited more Korean people and gotten, gotten
more
paid.
Money. Got more money. Fed them some more kaebijim.
Oh, wedding buffet food is the best.
It really is. It always ends. You start in the beginning.
With like the fried shrimp, right? And then some salad stuff. And then you end with the kaebijim.
Yeah. We get to the wedding. It's really sad. Soomin has to hire an actress to play her mother.
We're now getting a lot more detail about her. Well, it turns out she does have a mom who's still alive. Because Chiwon says, oh, from my memory, I know her mom is still around. Mm. But she must have a bad relationship with her. So she hires a woman to be her mom. Then she asks that woman, you hired my friends, right? Mm-hmm. So she is very sad that she has nobody there with her on her wedding day.
Chiwon comes in looking
so fabulous. So fabulous. And she's wearing a white vest suit. Looks so good. And I don't know if it's a rule in Korea that you're not supposed to wear white on someone else's wedding day.
She comes in with the best accessory. Not only the duty-free necklace hanging from her neck, but hunky GM on her arm.
Oh my God.
Tongues were wagging over this couple.
I remember once I went to a wedding. It was my boyfriend at the time, now husband, his friend's wedding. I didn't know them that well. But I got this dress that I thought was totally appropriate. But it was kind of pale pink.
Mm.
And we were walking to the wedding and somebody was like, looked at me and said, oh, it's the bride.
No.
And I was so mortified because that was not my intention at all. You know, I was like, oh, it's pink enough that people would know. But then I felt so bad.
Oh, you were being talked shit about by the bride.
She probably hates me.
Yeah, that night. Oof. Jiwon comes to the back room where she's waiting. I had that room too when I was...
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm, my Korean wedding. Jiwon comes in to see Soomin. Soomin seems like she's like, ha, look at me. I've stolen your man. I've stolen your precious life. I've stolen the family. Jiwon walks up to her and says,
thanks for cleaning up my trash.
Yeah. Biatch. She's been waiting for 11 episodes for this moment. She throws a pink Chanel at her feet. Soomin is like,
oh, that was so good.
Starting to lose her mind.
This was not how it was supposed to pan out. Like, she wanted Chiwon to be so jealous of her for having taken her man. And Chiwon is actually thankful to her.
She walks down the aisle. I mean, the wedding's a hot mess. The entire wedding scene is just to impress upon even more to Soomin and Debbie's husband what a mistake they're making. We see Jiwon and Hunky GM coming home from the wedding. You know, they're on a high. They've seen, you know, they've succeeded in what they've meant to do in exacting revenge on those two. But of course, their bliss is very short-lived.
It's short-lived. Mm-hmm. It's like, of course, in a Korean drama, they get like 2 days of happiness.
Seriously. The first thing that comes crashing down for Jiwon is that the meek manager finds out that she has stomach cancer.
Ugh.
That's a sad one.
Yeah.
So basically, the stomach cancer has transferred to this woman. Jiwon is definitely feeling guilty about this. So that's already sad. And then on their way home from the wedding, her and Hunky GM holding hands, walking up to their apartment building, and Yura is waiting. This is the first we're seeing her, right?
Yeah. We have seen like a glimpse of her shirt and like we've seen her name, but we've never seen her face.
What did you think about her? What was your first impression?
Well, it's Poa, which is, she's a big K-pop star from back in our day.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. And she was known as like the queen of K-pop for a while. She speaks English, she speaks Japanese, so she was really big for a long time. She's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I really hate to speak about a woman's appearance, but she just
has a lot. She's very frozen face.
Yeah, her face looked so different. Mm. Not like she's had a lot of like surgery, but she just, like something looks unnatural. Mm-hmm. And then I looked it up and people were leaving all of these hate comments on her Instagram about her getting her lips done.
Her lips are definitely done.
And you know what she said?
What?
She goes, oh, it's because I have a habit of biting my lips, you guys.
That's why they're so plump.
As if that's believable. Like,
I know. Just own it.
Just own it.
Just Kylie Jenner it. Yes. Look at what Kylie did.
Exactly.
She owned it and now she's a billionaire.
And you know, I bet 90% of that country is doing that stuff. So what are you embarrassed about? Like, right. It's so unbelievable.
I know. But I do love that she's very age appropriate. I mean, he's so young in real life, but like in the show, you know, they didn't pick a way younger actress. They didn't make her super young and beautiful. You know, I mean, she's beautiful, but not young and like a beautiful, pretty little thing. They made her very age appropriate. And I really appreciated that. I guess maybe because she has frozen face, she looks very fierce and quite bitchy.
She does.
She's not here with good intentions. You can tell.
Yeah, see, maybe she should have said that. Like, I needed to get into character, so I needed to inject my face with filler.
It's character development. Yeah, but she definitely has the face of someone up to no good. Okay, here's a theory I'd like to posit. Do we think at the end of this show, at the end of this series, do Jiwon and Hunky GM get a chance to end this life? They had happy times. They succeeded in doing the things they wanted to do. But the problem is stomach cancer is going to a very, you know, like an unassuming woman.
Right.
Hunky GM also has a death. That might go to somebody as well. They both came back and did what they're supposed to do, but they're wreaking havoc on other people's lives. It's right. Like the butterfly effect,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so do you think at the end, Taxi Driver Dad will come back and give them a chance to end this second life and just like go off to heaven together and like walk into the light together and spend eternity together so that everyone gets to like redo their fates? We could erase this parallel universe if you walk away and then everybody else won't have been affected by cancer and death, etc. What do you think? Anytime I posit a theory, her face is always like, yeah, you're crazy. She's thinking.
I mean, I think if they got their white Nike sneakers and wore their, what was that?
The cult, you mean?
Yeah, those cult guys, they take their
purple juice.
They can end it themselves.
No, I think Taxi Driver Dad has to come back. And they're going to have like a reconvening of the spirits. They're dead. And they might have the choice to be like, was all this suffering worth it?
So then they will end their own lives or they will end the lives of other people that
this parallel universe will just stop to exist. Taxi Driver Dad will be like, you guys died. When you died, you got to experience this love and you get to go off to heaven together. But this parallel universe doesn't exist. And so those people would have just lived their lives in the last life just like they did. Anyway, that's my theory. Putting it out there. It's not going to happen until episode 16, so.
It'll be like those movies where they just wake up and like, oh, it was all just a dream.
Right, exactly. It's called a Jacob's Ladder. There's a movie called Jacob's Ladder. Oh, they do that.
That would be unfortunate.
You think? Why should Meek Manager die of stomach cancer?
I mean, in the same way, did Jiwon deserve to get stomach cancer in the original life? Right? It's like, just because you're a terrible person doesn't mean you have a terrible fate.
That's true.
Always.
Okay.
But then they won't be able to experience their love.
But they can go to heaven together and experience it for eternity and look the same. They don't have to age together. Wouldn't that be nice? To just live with your love, just looking so fresh and beautiful forever. Oh, yeah. Whew, I'd choose that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the dad ever makes her appearance again. One thing, though, is that chef, I looked him up, Uno. His real name is Lee Ki-kwang, hard name to say. He looks like a different person.
But he's also a pop star.
He's a pop star, but he must have gotten eye widening surgery.
Eye widening? Like the ends?
The ends cut? You have to look him up.
What? That's a thing? You can cut the ends of your eyes?
Because if you feel like your eyes are like too short, with Wise, then you cut a slit so that they go. I know. And I think people look weird. He does look a little weird to me, which is why I was looking him up and I was like, he doesn't look like the same person.
I see. So,
and his eyes, it doesn't look like he even got double eyelid surgery. It looks like he widened them.
Oh, wow. And that's why I think we didn't really resonate with him, because they keep trying to make these ex-pop stars into actors. Did you see that Jisoo from Blackpink is going to be in an Lee Min-ho drama?
You know, the Blackpink shirt that we have that we got at the concert, there's a picture of the girls on the back. And my son saw Jisoo and was like, is that you? I was like, I'm not sure. Should I be offended by that? Because I don't find her to be very attractive.
Well, my husband says she is the prettiest from a Korean standard. Well,
this is how my son views me. Speaking of which, I was also looking at Soomin. Not to make this all about me, but I was looking at Soomin. I was like, does she remind you of me?
Soomin?
Yeah. I kind of was looking at her. I was like, I feel like I'm looking at myself. I mean, obviously, she's way prettier than me. But then...
she does have very similar vibes. Also the psycho vibes, too. Similar.
But that reminded me of Love is Blind. Have you heard this thing of these clips of this woman, Chelsea?
Oh, my God.
How she, behind the wall, was telling this guy, like, oh, yeah, people say it. I don't see it. But people say I look like Megan Fox. Why would
Megan
you come?
Megan Fox. Of all people.
Why? Like, she is the hottest woman in the world. I know. What?
Pick like Katie Couric. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, pick like
Katie Couric. He's definitely not going to pick her after that.
I mean, like somebody who is just like a normal looking person.
Right. No matter how beautiful you are, you could have never lived up to that.
I saw her on TikTok being like, hey guys, for every person who's ever told me that I look like Megan Fox, can you please stand up and vouch for me? I was like, oh, wow.
Anyway, I said that to my husband. I said, do I look like that girl? And he doesn't watch the show, and he looks up and he's like, yeah, kind of.
No, see, that's a good husband. That's a nice husband. We move into episode 12. We get some G1 childhood backstory. I needed this. I really needed some more backstory.
Finally.
I don't know why they pulled this out so late. I guess it's because her mom makes an appearance finally. So we knew her mom had run away for an affair, but actually she didn't run away. She was just down the street.
Yeah.
And the dad knew where she was the whole time.
Yes. So maybe the mom just never wanted to see her.
She tells her when they meet that she did, but the dad wouldn't let her.
Oh, is that right? I must have missed
They had part. Like a coffee date and, you know.
Yeah.
But I think he probably knew how awful she was and was protecting his daughter.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a little bit of the trauma G1 experienced as a child in her like very formative adolescent years. In this life, she tells Hunky GM they can't be together because of this Yura.
And it makes sense now. Her mom was having an affair and hurt Chiwon's father. And so she never wants to be the other woman because she's been the victim of that.
Right. And, Hunky GM is trying to explain, like, it wasn't love. She never cared for me anyway. He's trying to explain to her, like, it wasn't love. She doesn't believe it. She doesn't want anything to do with it. She's, trying to make good decisions in this life. And I am proud of her. She's leaving. He grabs her arm again. You think Hunky GM is like going to stop her to say something very romantic to her. But he grabs her arm to give her a card.
Yes.
It's a card for a stomach cancer specialist that he says he's been working to get to Korea for 6 months. This was very touching.
Yeah. I mean, he's the kind of behind the scenes guy who's trying to find ways to make her
life better.
Life better, make her happier.
He thought she might get cancer. So he was setting this up
in
case she got cancer, that he would be, there would be a doctor on call for
Meanwhile,
her.
Meanwhile, wasted effort.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding. It's going to help Judan, which also Judan, the meek manager, has also taken on Chiwon's unfortunate fate of having a husband who's cheating on her.
Mm-hmm. With the best friend.
Yeah, with the best friend. So now we know, okay, the stomach cancer has been passed. The cheating has been passed on to someone. The marriage has been passed on to someone. What else is left in her fate other than the death?
Yeah, I think it's just the death now. She's had her makeover. Her unresolved storyline with the chef also resolved.
Yeah.
And Eun-ho is going to go to somebody else.
Right.
She says something which I was confused by. Ji-won is sitting at her computer later and she's working late night. And then she's like thinking to herself, what if the fate has something to do with the husband? She thought it was very like Min-won, Soomin related. But she's now kind of thinking it has something to do with the husband. I'm not sure what she means by that. We have a good scene with Yuta calling Ji-won out, confronting her at a restaurant. Yuta has this like manservant.
Oh, yeah.
It's her right-hand man, but he's very silent and very hot and young.
He is.
This conversation, basically Yuta is calling her a gold digger. Now she's feeling possessive mm-hmm. and that this was rightfully mine. And she doesn't like Ji-won. Ji-won stands up for herself. She does a good job to be like, bitch, I'm not here for his money. And I don't even want him anymore. So you can have him, basically, right? Walks out.
The thing I wanted to say about Yuta is I don't love the storyline. Because up until this point, all of the villains have been like funny mm-hmm. and comical mm-hmm. and over the top. She just came in so aggressive. You know, I was like, we almost didn't need this storyline.
Well, again, though, following the tropes of what we talked about last week, which is you need a wrench in the relationship in episodes 11 through 15 that separate the lovers, right? She is that device. Comes out of nowhere. Didn't even care about this guy before. And now all of a sudden is just possessed by jealousy.
And I think if they had followed a similar kind of like funny storyline, it would have made sense in the genre. But now they're like going into this like dark.
Yeah, she's so bad that she was having girls beat up.
Yeah.
That's real. Suman would never do that.
Like that would be like a glory. I feel like they're trying to mix too many genres here.
Well, the biggest genre trope comes at the end of the episode. It's the middle of the night. Nobody's around. Nobody in this.
This scene, they must just copy and paste it in every single drama.
It's such a copy paste. They have a term for it. It's called the truck of doom.
I saw the truck of doom. But that kind of truck, have you seen that in Korea? I feel like if I were to ever to see that truck in Korea, I would just scream and like
run away
because I know it was coming for me. So there's a hitman in there.
It's always that truck. It's always that truck. It's not as big as a big rig. So, you know, like if you got crushed by a big rig, you'd be dead. But it's not as small as like a pickup truck.
Right.
Because this really has to enact some like heavy metal and windows breaking. It's like this medium delivery truck. Yeah. It's definitely like got like fish in the back.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like a fish market.
Yeah.
Truck.
Dried fish just like fluttering everywhere.
Truck of Doom comes. For those of you who don't watch many Korean dramas, this specific type of truck, it's always white.
It's like a half, it has like half of a flatbed.
Yes.
So it's not that big. But it's very tall, right? Yes. Like they have to climb to get up into their seat.
It always comes out of nowhere. Always, my whole thing is like, who are these drivers? They're always commissioned by somebody to basically take out an enemy. But the drivers always die. So I'm like, who are these drivers that are like suicidal?
Right.
They must have debt. Ji-won is at a light. It always is filmed the same way too. Headlights coming into, like being shown on the lead's face as the truck is coming.
If it's like at this point now, just an AI like CG and then you just change the faces.
Yeah. And of course, who's there to save her and run in front of the oncoming truck of doom? It's Hunky GM. Hunky GM gets crashed into. So this mimics his death in the last life. So we end the episode with Ji-won looking back. Because, of course, as Hunky GM is about to drive in front of this truck, they make eye contact. The slow-mo of eye contact was so good as he's about to just get crushed by this truck. So that's the end of the episode. I was A, just laughing at the truck of doom, but also B, so enthralled and wanted to move on to episode 13 so bad.
The preview was quite good.
Oh, I didn't see the preview. What was the preview?
Well, the preview was like them rushing him to the hospital and actually, I don't remember now, but I remember thinking, oh, this is about to finally hit the sweet spot.
Yes.
We have four more episodes.
One thing that really was interesting about Ji-won and the Suman deadbeat husband thing is that, you know, Ji-won took all of deadbeat husband's nonsense, just took it. But she says in her voiceover, she's like, Suman, knowing Suman, she is not going to take any of this. And so one of the things we didn't talk about was that Suman basically is so fed up with her life in this family, basically tells Min-won, I'm not pregnant. There's no baby.
Oh, that's right.
And at first she pretends like she had a miscarriage and him throwing things at her.
Yes.
Caused it. And he was actually really sad. He like cried at the table.
Why does that surprise you? You don't think anybody would be sad that they lost their baby?
He feels so like he hates this life. Like he really feels to me like he picked the wrong path. But I guess he's not completely dead inside.
Right. I mean, also, maybe that was like his one beacon of hope.
Right.
He's like, yes, everything else sucks, but at least there's something new coming that will maybe change the course of his relationship. What else happens is Heumin gets an envelope of pictures.
Yes.
That help her conclude that Ji-hyuk, he's related to the CEO.
And that Ji-won's really dating him.
Yes.
She's now realizing, oh shit, I got the raw end of the deal.
Yeah. But I don't understand what Yuda's trying to accomplish by doing this.
I think she thinks that Soo-min is a crazy bee. Like crazy enough to have like stolen her first husband. So now she may think like, oh, she's going to set Soo-min off on this path to maybe take some revenge on Ji-won.
Mm.
And kind of do her dirty work for her. They're coming to this place of like, oh, they're now finally seeing each other for who they are. Mm. There's no more pretense.
Right. There is one breadcrumb though, because she's like, well, I have money because I have stocks. So who knows what. These are too many storylines here.
They could be formidable against Ji-won and Ji-hyuk if they decided to take like action against them in just in like bitterness. So we might have those two out for them as well as Yuda.
This is when Ji-won will be calling her dad and be like, please just end it here. Yes, I'm done.
Take me away.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, anything else from the episodes? I'm very excited for the next two. All the tropes are falling into place. Episodes 13 and 14. I'm really sad this show's almost over.
It has been a little bit of a bright spot. It's very fun to watch. Would you recap another drama?
I don't think we have another choice. There aren't any reality shows right now.
What do you think about Physical 100? I know that's coming up soon, but yeah. Would that be interesting enough for us to recap? That's a tough one because there's not as much behind the scenes drama.
Yeah, there's not as much character development, although we don't know. Maybe this episode, the scenes will be different.
Remember from Singles Inferno last season, there was a woman who was a Pilates instructor. I'm pretty sure that was her job. She's on there now. Her name was Kang So-yeon. She's on Physical 100 season 2.
Have you seen previews for it?
Somebody had posted it on TikTok, a little clip of the behind the scenes
of her. I love the cross-pollination with all these reality shows. I love to see a person I saw on a last reality show on another reality show.
That must mean, you know, like they're all kind of in this circuit. And yeah. So there's not any more people to choose from.
But to join Physical 100, you have to be very strong.
What yeah, I mean, girl? She does look very strong.
I see. I love Physical 100. I would just love to recap it, even if it's not as juicy as the other reality shows. I think I'd still love to.
Oh, it's coming out March 19th.
Ooh, okay.
So actually could be perfect timing.
All right, good. So I'm going to miss Ji-won. I'm going to miss Soo-min and Deadbeat Husband. I'm really going to miss these guys. But anyway, we're not done yet. I have many open-ended theories that still may come true. I want to see them to the end.
Oh, I can't wait.
We hope you guys have been enjoying the show as much as we have. We will be back episodes 13 and 14. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye.